What's up, friends? Welcome to another episode of the Apply Training Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Keeney. Music bed. In this episode of ATP, I sit down with Josh Bond. He is a personal trainer that has been coaching full-time for the better half of a decade at Pro Sports Club. And during his time at Pro Club, he's been able to earn himself the title of senior trainer or mentor. And so at the club, he mentors multiple trainers, including myself, to help them continue growing as a professional and get to their goals. So I've had the pleasure of being able to work alongside with him for the last year and a half, and have learned a lot from him about PRI. And PRI, the Postural Restoration Institute, is an institution that has a great effect and influence on not only myself and how I coach and how I train myself, but also how I train my clients. And so in this episode, I talk a lot about the influence that this institution has on Josh's training as well, and how he's been able to successfully help get his clients out of pain, out of low back pain, knee pain, and be able to continue getting stronger while maintaining this new state of health. Outside of this, we also talk about the influence of how the fitness industry is continuing to evolve into more of an online dynamic. And so Josh shares an insight of how he's been able to find success through keeping an intimate relationship with his online clients, keeping them engaged, and being able to figure out new ways how he can continue attracting more people to join his programs and his six-week restorative therapy program that he's currently doing through Facebook. So overall, we touch on a lot of different topics, and I'm excited for you guys to check out this podcast. So without further ado, I invite you all to sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation I have with my friend Josh Bond. Hello, Josh.
Yo, what's up?
Thanks for coming on. Happy to have you on here. I wanted to talk with you a lot about, obviously, PRI, number one, and also online coaching. Having someone that has taken a lot of the PRI courses is helpful for me with this podcast, because that's honestly like what I want to pick your brain about a lot. And for those of you listening that aren't trainers or aware of PRI, it's the Postural Restoration Institute, which was this institution that was created by Dr. Ron Horuska, this physical therapist based out of Nebraska. And he has this very, intricate, elaborate way of his viewpoint of how he views the body and the anatomical structures of the skeleton, and how breathing influences it, postural positioning and stacking and all these things. And a lot of these courses are so in depth and have so much information in them that personal trainers, we're like the bottom tier of health professionals that go in, right? I mean, you can attest to this too. It's like you have doctors, you have chiropractors, you have physical therapists, there's dentists too that will go. And it's these people with these high levels of education, because you're going to be getting a high level of education in this course. And I realized that when I did the postural respiration course, that if you're going to these courses just to get CECs, you're not going to get you're not going to get anything out of it.
You're like, what is going on?
You're going to be like, what's happening? And it's not going to be an enjoyable experience or beneficial, right? And so I learned that because I went to my course with one of my mentors at the time, Matt Zabrowski, who's this guy that's been training for probably 2 decades now. And just to have him there, who's already taken the course online, was really helpful for me. And because that way, once I left the first day, just brain destroyed.
Yeah, for sure.
I knew that like I would have someone to refer to like kind of better simplify this information for me. And so that was the first thing that I wanted to ask you is, how did you first hear about PRI, and what made you realize that, oh, this is something I want to center my style of training around?
So I think the first time I took a course was in 2014. They actually came to Pro Sports Club.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Nice. And we did myokinematic.
Nice.
And at the time, I was having a lot of issues with like lower back pain. Like, I've always had this like right hip impingement stuff, and like, I've always just kind of been a little bit injury prone, to be honest. Like, I tried to play football in high school. Like, I got hurt. It's like lower back. And the first course I went to, I don't even remember. Like, I think it was just some of the trainers who were mentoring me at the time who were really into it and had taken course already. Mm-hmm. Like Min and Sean Cornell at the time. These guys were like doing this weird stuff. Like, all this breathing stuff. I was like, what the hell is going on? So we go to this course, and I think what sold me on it was their ability to make change to the body really quickly. And these guys could see, it was James Anderson, he's one of the instructors, PT. He could pick people out of the audience and like he could tell like how they were gonna test on the table, like their AC. I'm like, how does this guy see this stuff? You know, like,
and without them even going onto the table.
No, he just knew. Like there was something about them, their cues and like their posture that he knew like they would test a certain way on the table, but then he could change it with like the breathing or like a very specific exercise. I'm like, what the hell? And then like it seems almost like magic, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, a little bit like skeptical, but then I do some of the drills, and like as you go through the course, you're learning how to do them, and I feel like very different. Like my hips feel like really loose and free, and I'm moving better, and I'm like, I don't know what is going on, but I need to learn more. And so I ended up taking like most of their courses multiple times. Like, yeah. I took all the intro ones. I think there's three intro courses, probably two or three times each, because it was because it was so much to learn over like a weekend. And so got a hold of some of the ones where they send you the DVD.
Oh, the online ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I, at the time, they would send them to you.
Yeah.
And I think just the fact that it made such a big difference so quickly, like, and I could feel it.
For sure.
I was bought in. I was like, I feel great. I remember playing a lot of basketball at that time, and I would, like, do some reset drills before. And I'd go out there and feel awesome. Like, I'm just, like, moving wherever I wanted to go and then not having pain later. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah, I recognized that pretty quickly going to Pro Club when I was doing the FMS testing with you during the training. Because, like, you and Corey, you guys deviated so quickly from the FMS.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is a good starting point if you've never done training and you want to just kind of really basically screen a new client and, like, see how they move.
It's a great place to start, for sure.
It is.
There's a lot of similar assessments and things that you learn over time that are in there, and you just come to appreciate. You're looking a little bit deeper than just what FMS is screening, like those numbers, you know? Just building your eye for things that are happening.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that stood out the most to me was when we were doing the active leg raise test. You're like, okay, if someone's laying on their back and their leg doesn't, or if they can't flex their hip to 90 degrees or whatever, it's like, sometimes it's not necessarily a flexibility issue.
Right.
And that's where you kind of go into talking about stacking your hips underneath your rib cage, and if you can get them to breathe diaphragmatically, then sure enough, like they can raise higher. And I remember Chase was in my higher group, and you were doing it with him because he was pretty tight, and you had him get into like an all fours position with like on his forearms, on his knees, and like, okay, I want you to breathe into like your upper back, between the space between your shoulder blades, and just these like simple breathing cues of like, okay, if I can get you into this position and have you breathe directly to this spot that I want you to, let's see how that changes things. And I want, if you could talk about that a little bit, of like what's that dynamic that changes inside the structure of the skeleton or the like the setup of the body.
Yeah, so
I know you're not a doctor, but
yeah, basically what you're trying to figure out is like the skeleton, like where are your bones oriented in space. So that from there, if I think of it almost like a jigsaw puzzle, like if I had the pelvis model and stuff, like if your hips get stuck in certain positions, like you're just, your bones won't move through the range of motion, right? So it's not like your muscles are tight. It's like your bones are literally just like not going to go through that. So if we can reposition the bones into a position where they're free to move where they need to, then that's kind of what you're, the main point is, like, get your bones in the right spot so that they can move through the transverse plane, three planes of motion.
But the transverse plane specifically, right? I mean, I talked about that in my last podcast of like utilizing the three planes of motion and how you can turn even like basic sagittal plane movements into a rotational movement, like the row with a reach, right? Because even that is just asking your clients to intentionally maybe exhale when they're pulling towards you as they reach, of like getting one side of your diaphragm to decompress or one side of your rib cage to decompress and allow air into the other side. And that was like a really good term, I guess, that they used a lot in the course that I took, was reciprocal alternating function. Can we reciprocate the same function on both sides of the body equally to make sure that there is no asymmetries? Because that's where a lot of them are going to be coming from, right? Is like, if I have a lot of what they call dead air, right, in one side of your rib cage, then that's going to shift you onto that opposite side. And if you're shifted onto one side, then that's when the compensations come into play. That's when the motor patterns start to become hindered.
Yeah.
And so it's doing, to me at least, what I found in my own training too, is like getting that rotational movement even in warm-up drills. Like I'll have a lot of my clients do a half kneeling row with a reach or some kind of, like you said, rotational movement, just to get, see how can they move. And then I love their example of the snowman, right? Of like your base, your middle, and then your head, of like these things should be able to move and rotate individually.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, aside from the breathing course, since that's the one that I'm pretty versed on as far as familiarity, what was the course that you found you got the most benefit from that you could carry over into your clients?
Probably Myokin.
Myokin?
Yeah, they talk about like the asymmetrical pattern, and then a lot of what you're saying with like being able to alternate, that's a lot of what that course is about. If I had to go back and take one, that's probably where I would start again.
The myokinematic restoration.
Yeah, somewhere between that one and respiration, because the breathing is important. They do touch on breathing in myokin, but they all just, it's deep, right? So it's like all of them connect. And then I think every time I would take one, I was like, this is the best course. This was the best. But it's just, I think, because things were coming together. I remember taking the pelvis course the second time, and I think it was Lori Thompson who taught that. She's one of the like original PRI therapists.
Okay.
And the way she taught it and just like her teaching style, like things really started to click that I didn't understand before. And I was like, this was the best course. Like, you know, so it's like, I don't know. That's a journey, man. It took me a lot of reps to get more familiar with that stuff.
And dude, for sure.
It's just an appreciation, like, for what gait should look like. Okay. I mean, in a range, right? Like, everybody's different. We're all built different. But, like, should be able to walk. We should be able to, like, make that
too,
not, right? Not look labored. Like, I see a lot of labored gaits, and I'm just like, we know how to fix that now, you know? Like, it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to be the old man who's, like, hunched over. Like, we know what's happening with that.
Totally.
And we can totally reverse that.
Mm. Yeah, and Nathan gives the example a lot. I'm not speaking in third person. One of our coworkers, he talks about that, of like people walking like a refrigerator. And that's what Josh means when you say labored movement or labored gait patterns, is like if you're not able to rotate and your body is moving as one unit in space, like you're probably expelling a lot of energy, and you're more likely just referring on your posterior chain and you're leaning back. So you're almost just relying on gravity and momentum to carry you forwards. And that's not a terrible thing. I mean, obviously, you're still going to be able to have a quality of life, but it's going to be limited, right?
Yeah, I just start to, like, you appreciate, like, a lot of other stuff about just human beings. Like, it's not just, like, the movement stuff, but, like, you start to think, like, we spend a lot of time just looking straight ahead, like, at a computer, at a screen, like, how that influences the way you move and, like, how your eyes, like, they go deep. They have a whole vision course. Like,
they have one on your jawline.
Mandible. Yeah. And, like, how that stuff. So it just, like, got me to be like, all right, I need to go outside and, like, go look around. Like, use my eyes and not just be, like, fixed on a screen all the time. Just, it totally has an influence on, I mean, you might even see in some of your clients, like, they kind of move their head with the rest of their body. Like, they can't all really disassociate, you know? Like, they're on a screen like all day.
Yeah.
Just appreciating that stuff and like giving them some exercises to get them moving and rotating, alternating.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I'm curious to know, since obviously you don't consider yourself a restorative therapist, I mean, more so strength coach, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And that's the thing, is it's finding this bridge or this catalyst to be able to use these PRI not techniques, but just the understanding postural restoration talks about, and being able to, number one, simplify it, and then number two, implement it for your client to understand it so that they can do it correctly. And for me, what I've noticed is some of my shortcomings when I'm trying to do this is like asking them to inhale, they'll go through their mouth, right?
Yeah.
So it's the difference between doing that and saying, okay, I want you to keep your mouth closed, tongue to the roof of your mouth, relax your neck, whatever you want to tell them, and then breathe through your nose. And I want you to breathe for 3 to 5 seconds. And then I want you to exhale for 3 to 5. But sometimes that's hard for me to get across to my clients. And I'm curious to know, since you have probably double the amount of years of experience as I do, what worked well for you, and what was easy for your clients to catch on to?
I think over time, you get better at breaking down the things that are going to get the client the most return on investment, you know, and just trying to make it as simple as possible. Like I feel like I don't even talk as much in my sessions now. Like it's more about letting them figure it out, and when you can put them in the right environment to where they're safe and practicing something, and letting them know it's okay to, you know, go off balance or maybe feel like you're not doing it right. Like it's okay. Like I'm gonna make sure you're safe, and just giving them a chance to figure it out. Like your body is more resilient than I think we give it credit for. And even though all this stuff is important and getting them moving really well, like, I don't know, there's something you said about just being stronger too, like, yeah, and having the balance in that. So I go as deep with this stuff as I need to. Like, you know, for some clients, you know, they're like real tight in their neck or something. Like yesterday I gave a specific breathing drill as like a circuit. Like we did strength stuff. And then we do like one thing. It's like, hey, just, I want you to feel this a little bit better when you do this activity, so let's do this breathing drill. And then got the client to feel what I wanted, and I was like, all right, try to take that to this drill. And she's like, yeah, that does feel better. And she felt her neck less when we were doing like a half healing chop.
Yeah.
And she was like using her neck a lot, and I was like, okay, like I want you to feel more about like the muscles in her rib cage, like serratus, and get her into her abs a little bit.
That's
and
cool.
And so we just did something like that, and all of a sudden she's like, yeah, I don't feel my neck as much. I'm like, perfect, that's easy. It like I didn't have to do much, you know, like I'm trying to make it easy for me too.
Like,
yeah,
roll out your neck with a roller or something.
No, and I'll probably like teach her in her warm-up to do some soft tissue work, and like, you know, she's warmed up with like a lacrosse ball or whatever because it feels good. But long term, like the things that'll make the biggest difference is getting stronger in a good position or in a better position, and like moving just going through those motions and actually moving,
that's
getting
huge.
People going, like
that's huge. And I also want to touch on one of the points that you said earlier is you don't talk as much in your sessions. And that's what I realized, especially with clients that you have long term too. Like if you have a set warm up for them or something and they know, okay, I want you to come in, I want you to do like these three mobility drills, I want you to go jump on the bike for 20 calories, I'm going to start getting you set up. And then for me, this is kind of my ritual with my clients. It's like, all right, I'm going to have you do two or three movements that are going to prime the muscles that I want working for deadlifts or that I want working for a bench, or whatever it is that we do. And the less talking or instructing or coaching that you're doing with your client, obviously this is going to be with someone that you've known for a while or someone that is experienced, the more they're going to be able to get out of it because you're getting out of the way. And I think that's something that's taken a lot of humility for me to understand is like, okay, I need to step back sometimes. Like they're doing 95% of what I want them to do. They're not hurting themselves. Again, they're in a safe environment. I'm going to let them do the full set and then ask them, hey, what did you feel? This is what I was looking for. This is what you did, or whatever it is, right? And I thought that was a really good point for you to say is step out, get out of the way sometimes is the end thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, at first, like, what's most important to them? Taking that into consideration. And then when they have questions, like, that's when I'll be able to jump in with that particular idea or, like, the expertise that you want to share with them. But if they don't have a question about it or, like, they don't show interest in that, like, probably not going to really go too deep into any of this stuff for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell are you talking about? I came here to work out.
That's so funny because, go ahead.
But it's a really helpful tool. Like, you know, like having that appreciation of all that stuff. I'm really thankful I was exposed to it in the first place because I feel now like if a client has something that comes up, I feel pretty good about getting them back to the strength training activity as fast as possible without them getting injured or re-injuring themselves or
For sure. I think that was also a good point that you touched on too, is implementing these breathing drills per se into like a strength workout or a strength circuit, because I think for me that was also one of my shortcomings when I first took the course. The next month and a half I was probably spending 20 minutes talking to them about like the 90-90 hip lift.
I did the same thing.
Yeah, for those of you that's not aware of that, is like this is the most foundational breathing drill that PRI talks about, is having your feet elevated, whether it be on a bench or a couch or ideally feet against the wall.
Yeah.
Getting them to posteriorly tilt their pelvis, breathe through their belly, exhale, reach, keep their neck relaxed. There's so many cues that go into it that if you're telling your client to do 10 different things and breathe through your nose and then through your mouth, you're going to have diminishing return, right? And that's when it comes to how many layers are you going to put onto one task that you're giving a client. And so that kind of led me to my next question, is like, how do you simplify some of the non-manual breathing techniques for your clients to understand and for them to reap the benefits of doing it correctly?
Yeah, with the breathing stuff, obviously we can get into like some pretty detailed stuff if we need to. But with everybody that I start with, like the first day, we'll integrate some breathing into our warm-up exercises and letting them know that it's important that they develop the skill of being able to get fully exhalated, feel those muscles around their rib cage, and like hold on to that and still breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's about as deep as I will go sometimes with people. But I'm trying to get them to like disassociate just being tight and like bracing like their six pack, right? Like, and trying to get them to really feel like more of the muscles around their rib cage. And I'm like, when we go to lift heavy, yeah, you're gonna feel everything. It's all gonna be tight, but you still gotta be able to breathe. Mm. Otherwise, you're not gonna be able to do as many reps, or you're just not gonna be able to do it. It's not gonna feel good.
Yeah, you can't brace. you're not gonna be as tight.
I'm like,
you need to be.
So a lot of them on the first day, they'll have a difficult time. Like, they'll get fully exhalated and they'll take that breath in. And I'm like, it's okay for you to feel restricted of air. That's normal. We just gotta open up whatever's tight. Mm. Wherever that may be, I need this to get a little bit more comfortable for you, like so that when we go to lift and load, like a goblet squat, mm-hmm. that you can feel the same tension, you can still breathe and be under control of your body, basically. So you got to mm-hmm. be able to like own it.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of tempo work with people, and like you're going to have to breathe in a lot of different positions as you go through that squat, and you got to own it, you know?
100%. But, yeah, that's a huge phrase that I think a lot of people undermine is owning positions.
Own it.
Owning.
It's not fun, but it works, and it gets really good results. So.
It's not fun, and it's not a sexy answer either. And this is Jacob and I talked about this too. With like, I think we were talking more so about like dieting or getting sun exposure, but it's the same thing with weightlifting too. And it's in the sense of when I have clients that are like, what's a good goal for me? They're like, oh, I want to squat like 2 times my body weight. Like, okay, you're 160 pounds. You want to be able to squat 320 pounds. Like, does that seem tangible to you? And sometimes they're like, oh, I don't know. And so you have to dial it back, and you have to break it down. Like, okay, well, let's get you to maybe goblet squat half your body weight for 20 reps, like what John Russin talks about, which is a great starting point. And then once you've owned the goblet squat that well, your technique doesn't break down, you can do 20 reps comfortably. Okay, let's get you to a barbell, right? And then going from there, because while that's not an exciting thing for clients to come in and see like, oh, I want to work with a trainer. Why are you giving me this dumbbell? I want to hit the barbell. But it's like, I'm doing this because I want to set this foundation for you. Because if we have this foundation, it's going to be much more stable for us to start to add layers to it. Because if you don't have a foundation, if it's made of mud and it's made of bullshit you learned on bodybuilding.com, we're not going to be able to see consistent progress 2 years from now if you're still working with me. And we were talking about this before the podcast, is like, we want to build longevity with our clients. I don't want to keep doing get starteds and having complimentary sessions with new people. It's like, obviously I'd love to do that if I have the time for it, but I would much rather have like 20 to 25 consistent clients that I see 2 to 3 times a week that I know about, that I know what I'm going to be expecting when I see them, because it's so much easier to, again, see progress, to not have to coach the whole hour. And you obviously develop more of an intimate relationship with that client if you see them in person. But
oh, absolutely, man.
I also liked what you were saying too of getting them to be fully exhalated, and what you mean by that is like getting as much of the air out of your body as you can, right? And that goes back to my point earlier when I was talking about with dead space or dead air that's stuck in your body, is that if you're not fully exhalated, that air is going to stay in there. That pocket of air is going to continue to stay there and compensate what you're doing, right? And so if you're not practicing doing this regularly, you're also not practicing, you're going to have a hard time handling stress. And what I mean by that is when you're in a fully exhalated state, you start to panic, right? Because you're like, I need air. And if you can pause for like 2 to 3 seconds, you're actually, you're training your nervous system, right? To respond like, okay, there's stress. I need to see how I can handle this. I need to see where I'm going to be at when I'm challenged, when I'm pushed into a corner.
But that's also like what a diaphragmatic breath is. Like when you get fully exhalated, you're basically leveraging the diaphragm as a mm-hmm. muscle to act like a muscle. Like it restores the position. Like you get leverage, and so now you can use your diaphragm to breathe with instead of accessory muscles, the way they would put mm-hmm. it. Like if I don't have good diaphragm breathing, like I'll use my neck and my back. I used to be able to have really tight like scalenes and like traps.
Yep,
you know, they're like really toned up, like shoot, even their lower back. Like you see people that are like just using whatever they got to do to get air into their body because their diaphragm can't do it as well. So like you just restore the diaphragm, all of a sudden you see like tone and tension really like come down in people. It's pretty cool. Like, I mean, that's like a super underrated part of it. It's like, you know, I don't know where belly breathing got such a popular is it yoga maybe? I don't know. And maybe there are some benefits to it. I don't know. I just know like it's not diaphragmatic breathing. Like if you really want to like change your breathing and improve your breathing, like I don't know if the belly breath is your best bet.
It's not the end all be all, yeah.
It's like get exhalated, get comfortable there, and like
dude, totally
learn how to breathe into wherever you're restricted.
Yeah, that's huge. It's just like flexing your bicep though too, like with flexing the diaphragm. Because like if you're not practicing flexing it, then like you said, you're just gonna atrophy, or you're just not gonna know how to turn it on.
Yeah,
and it's the same thing with your hamstrings, right? If you can't feel your hamstrings engaging in certain movements, how do you know they're working then? That's like such a scary thing to hear people like having them do RDLs or any hip hinge movement, and if they don't tell me they feel their hamstrings, like I kind of felt that in my quads. Okay, let's like, huh. Let's reassess.
No, for sure. That mind body awareness too is big with like the PRI stuff. It's like, especially early on, just like getting clients to feel like more inside, like what's going on, what they're feeling, so that as we progress, they're safe, becomes second nature, and then you can go to more of those like external cues and really push it and like stress the whatever, squats, deadlifts.
Yeah, man, that's huge. And that's I kind of want to pivot here. I wanted to also talk to you about your online training and your online programming that you've been doing. You're currently in the middle of doing a 6-week postural reset program. Why don't you talk to me a little bit about that, as far as what influenced that idea and how you've been able to get a pretty decent following of people that are tuning in regularly and the videos that you're doing.
Yeah. I think over the years, like, people know that I've been like studying this stuff, and they come up and ask me a question about it, and it's so hard to give a good answer without going deeper and like
going down
assessing them specifically, because they're like, well, this and this bother me, but like, what should I do? Do you have any exercises? I'm like, there's a lot of exercises you can try, but like, if you want to really get down to the bottom of it, like, you need to get more information. And so the idea with the 6-week course was to take people through the full assessment. And then each week I've done a little bit of education on why we picked those assessments and if they were restricted or limited in any way, like what it means and the exercises that connect with that. And then for some of them, giving them specific exercises, like we're working together. And then some of the trainers that have come on, like they're just listening, basically giving me feedback because it's the first time I've done it. So, and trying to just break it down simple so that anybody could come in, and whether you have like forward head posture things, like things that you would see somebody who's not a trainer, like lower back tightness, like things that they can tell, they look relatable in the mirror, things. Like asymmetries, like that you can address it, and trying to do it as simple as possible and just giving them like a few drills at a time.
Yeah.
And I think so far it's going pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, your PowerPoints are good. They're descriptive, and you can tell that you have your thoughts organized and are well articulated, in the sense that you do a 30-minute Zoom call or a presentation and you upload it to YouTube. And you're not really stumbling over your words. You're not really hesitating and like, I forgot what I was gonna say. Like, your ideas are very well thought out, and that's, I wanted to compliment you on that.
No, thank you.
You do that really well. And I think as the fitness industry as a whole, it starts to evolve and transition more towards this online presence, this online world, we need to be able to be good of, or articulate with talking in front of a camera, talking like this, and being able to be taken seriously as professionals. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, with people like us that want to see this through and make a career out of it, like, we need to continue to adapt and evolve. And that's something that I've seen you do really well this last, like, year and a half, is you've had creative methods and different approaches. And I want to kind of pick your brain about, like, what approaches or methods you've been using that you found success with and that you rely on and that you would recommend to other trainers like myself or people that are even seeking fitness advice. Like, where should they go to get that?
Yeah, so it originally started about a year ago. Like, I really wasn't sure how to get into the online. Am I just going to start a profile and be like, I'm taking clients. Come on and sign up.
I'm waiting.
Like, you know, people are just going to come, you know.
For sure.
Knocking. So I knew that probably wasn't realistic. So I invested in this online training, online coaching, basically more business oriented, where they tell you how to engage an audience and how to like build an audience. And so I don't use all of it, to be honest. Pretty simple though. Like, I'll go into like Facebook groups that I feel I could potentially help those people. So for me, I started with knee injuries because I've had two knee surgeries myself. So it's easy for me to go into those communities and like talk with those people because they always have a lot of questions. There's like I think there's like 20 or 30,000 people in one of the groups that I follow.
Jeez.
And there's questions every day. And so I can pop in there and just like kind of engage with them and like share. The ACL surgery is not fun. I'll just tell you that. Anyone else who's gone through it, like we already have a connection, you know, like it's like, yeah, I've been through it too. And like, here's where I am now. And I can show them like you can, and, or maybe even some of my clients, like I'll just post things about them sometimes.
Yeah.
And their progress and, you know, people love it, but it's more about like engaging that community. And so once I would have conversations with some of these people, if I thought they were a good fit, I'd invite them to my community where I talk about strength training and how to overcome injuries or pain or whatever it may be. And they're like, yeah, I'd love to join. So put them in the group, and now I have a place where I can talk at them or to them and engage them. And so like, you know, it's there's a lot of different things you can do. I feel like I've had a lot more fun with doing some of these like polls with like the Instagram where I'm just like basically making people choose a, like there's a lot of gray area in any question you could answer or ask when it comes to like posture and movement and pain, whatever.
Stretching versus breathing.
Yeah, something like that.
What were the ones that you added?
What were they? I think I saved them here.
You had a few good ones though that I was just like, I think it's breathing, is it?
Yeah.
Because you were talking about building strength.
Okay.
One of the two. Which one was it?
So I have all of them here. Like I have some of the questions. It was basically what has more influence on movement quality was what I kept coming back to and having people vote.
Okay.
And it was it positional breathing or stretching it out, and then depending on whatever, like it didn't matter if you voted or not, I was gonna release like a video and then tag all those people who voted into the video. I was like, well, here's what I think, and I mean, I was happy to be wrong or like,
oh yeah,
or did you be have challenged.
Any people? Yeah, did you have any people that were like, nah, I don't think so, Josh?
There was like a couple people that came with more questions.
Okay.
Really. And like they were skeptical.
Yeah.
And then I was able to kind of clarify what I thought. And I was like, this is what I think based on what I've learned. Yeah. I'm open to whatever gets results, you know. Like, but I'm definitely more about trying to do like the path of least resistance. And like if I can get it in one breathing drill, like I'll ask people, like, how long have you been stretching? All right. Hamstring or the active leg raise maybe is still limited, so is your hamstrings really the tight thing? You've been stretching those for 2 years? Like,
yeah.
Let's try this drill real quick and then see, and then like in the same session get a change. Like, yeah, I should do this instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was what's like was such a big eye opener to me too, is that it can stop a lot of people needing to overstretch. And that's what I realized is because I've always been a fairly like not hypermobile, but I've been a fairly mobile person most of my life. And like even like my brother that while he doesn't exercise regularly, like can still do a deep squat comfortably, like has no issue getting down into a deep squat, like upright back and like good ankle position and everything. But my point though is that a close family member of mine, she just is also hypermobile, but just always complains about hamstring tension, like hamstring aching. And that she will just stretch her hamstrings until the cows come home.
Yeah.
And even just having her put her feet, when she was visiting you, I had her put her feet against the wall. And I was like, yeah, I want you to try and like slide your feet down on the wall. Build some friction between your feet and the wall. I want to tell me what you feel. Oh, I feel my hamstrings. Okay, does it hurt? No, it doesn't hurt. Oh, that's weird. Okay, now try and get your hips off the ground and I want you to try and breathe in that position. Huh. Haven't you showed me this? Yeah, I've showed it to you before. And it's like, but it goes back to that point of, see, I'm helping you like aid your hamstrings, I guess, pain or tension. And I'm not having you bend over and touch your toes. I'm not having you sit and reach past your toes. Right. Because if you're continuing to stretch something that's already overstretched due to an anterior pelvic tilt or the positioning of your pelvis, then I tell my clients, it's like overstretching your rubber band. It's not going to have that elasticity anymore. And if your joints don't have that elasticity, you're no longer relying on your muscles to stabilize you.
Absolutely.
And that's where chronic pain can start to play in. Like, again, with knee pain, too, or with back pain, is like, if I'm in such an extended position, meaning hips dumped forward, ribs flared out, then...
Yeah, it starts, like, with a good foundation of where your bones are, and then getting your muscles really strong at keeping your skeleton in a good position.
Yeah.
Or a better position. And it seems like most people that I've trained, regardless of their background with pain or whatever, like, we just do that, and they all feel better. It's like, you know, I, like... really try not to get too crazy with it. It's just like, yeah, we lined you up, put your bones in a better position, and now the muscles are really strong at like moving you through those ranges.
Yeah.
And good to go. Like, let's do everything. Mm-hmm. I want them to be able to do whatever they want to do in the gym or outside of the gym for that matter. Like, and just be more resilient.
Yeah. So how do you do that aside from the 6 week postural reset? Because I know you take online clients as well, and you have a really nice website. What's the name of the website again?
This is joshbondfitness.com. You can see some like the testimonials. I've had some ideas on building some courses there as well. So
I remember you telling me about that.
There's one still on there with like some very basic like positional breathing stuff. If anybody wants to see it, I think I put it up there for like $20 or something, but yeah. I don't know.
For those of you listening, that's a really good deal for someone that's taken a lot of these PRI courses and spent thousands of dollars to educate themselves on. Like, dude, $20 is definitely worth checking out. And
it's very simple. Like, it's, I think there's like 5 videos that go through like some of the basic anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, anybody could take it. And then there's like 5 positional drills, like, all fours, 90-90, just basically like simple, like hook lying, like things on the floor and like breathing, and then some progressions from there just to get better position, basically. Very simple, like it's a foundation that I set with all my clients, and those are some of the drills that I've used. Yeah. I think I did that like 3 years ago, that whole course, like I built that. But now it's more transitioned to trying to get on like social media and like go talk to people and see if they'd be a good fit, really. Like, and I really go at it that way of like, I'm not really trying to sign up anybody. Like, I really think they got to be a good fit and ready to go. Because the online stuff, you gotta show up on your own. Obviously you're there as a trainer, you're holding them accountable by writing it out and giving them a checklist. And sometimes I'm like chatting with them in person, like virtually, and going through some of the movements. If I catch something in the video that I can't quite cue or explain, but honestly, like just having a better understanding of exercise selection with understanding how to reverse engineer, you know, the basics, when you take people through this initial screen, I'm like, okay, this is kind of where they're at. I think this is what's going to be appropriate and safe for them. A lot of times they can go in there and do it on their own. You know, we go through a couple of the skills that I think they need together, and then once they have it, they go and continue to progress, and then we can continue to change the exercise selection as they get better. But it's made it easier for me, honestly, to like have that background with biomechanics.
Because then it's like, now they know. Once you, I mean, again, to go back to my relative that I was talking about, is like, once she knows, like, okay, this feels good, right?
Right.
Yeah, this feels good. Like, I don't feel tension in my back. Okay, like, remember what this feels like. And now let's see how often can you replicate it, right? It's like a lot of things in fitness in general. It's like, okay, like, if you felt really good this day on your workout, let's go back and see, what was your sleep like? Did you have a ritual before you went to bed? What did you eat for dinner last night? Did you have anything to eat before this workout today? Like, did you rehydrate? Because all these things are going to play a factor, right? And it's including the breathing stuff and seeing, like, okay, like, I was breathing, I didn't really get this drill, but this one kind of helped. Or, like, when I was with my trainer, he had me doing this, I should remember that. Because a lot of it is, I mean, while we do have an hour with you, you have so many more hours of the week by yourself of, like, you can, deter yourself from these patterns, and you can deviate from, like, oh, well, I was doing really well, but I forgot what it was, so I'm just going to kind of go back to my old ways. It's like, well, if I know I feel comfortable and good after I do X, Y, and Z, how can I make sure I'm still doing these things on a either regular basis, an every other day basis, a weekly basis, whatever have you?
I found, like, the less I do, like, the more they do, and they take more. I think there's something about it. Like, I think I'm a little bit this way. Like, I like to think that I'm, like, when I'm learning concepts and things, like, I'll do it my way. You know, like, I don't know why, like, I don't know if more other people are like that. But, or if that's just me being weird, but, like, I always like to think of, like, there's, you learn all these things, but then, like, you're definitely going to, like, do it your way, and then it becomes, like, you kind of own it. And I think as a trainer, like, the less I really dive into things and, like, just get people going, they start to take ownership of their nutrition and their sleep, and they're like, yeah, I had to go to bed because I knew I was coming here the next day. And I was like, that's cool. Like, we never talked about sleep.
But it's nice, like, that to me, that's, it's satisfying and fulfilling to hear that from clients. They're like, oh yeah, like I realize like I need to start eating before I see you.
Right. Sometimes they just got to learn the lesson. Like, you know, maybe they get a little lightheaded because they didn't eat enough or whatever. But like, that's, I don't know. I've definitely tried to go more in that direction of like, what are they experiencing? What's important? And like, how are they responding to things? And then are they actually gonna do something about it?
Yeah.
Are they going to keep showing up lightheaded? I don't know. It's like, well, if you like doing this.
If you want to have a few cups of coffee without water, just tell me why you have a headache. But no, to go back to the topic of online training, though, how have you found, is there still that element of, not necessarily intimacy, but of being able to connect well with the clients that you have? Because you told me you have a few, like, even out of country, like Finland, Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
What's it like with that dynamic of communicating with that client on a regular basis or however often you communicate with them?
Yeah, so early on there's a lot of communication because there's some of the stuff might be really new to them, like the exercises and stuff. So I might meet up with them early in the week, talk for like 20 minutes to a half hour virtually, and then they'll go and practice what we talk about. And then everything from there, like I try to get them to message me through. I use TrueCoach. I really like it because they can upload video of their stuff there. But I also talk on Messenger, like Instagram or Facebook, because that's where I meet a lot of them. So we just kind of continue our conversation because there's been quite a bit of rapport built before that, right? Like I've reached out to them, we've talked about it, we've gone through the sales process and made sure that this was a good fit. So I know a lot about them by the time we're like on day one, signed up, doing the assessment. They're pretty eager to start working out. I'm eager to get them to the workout because we've done a lot of talking up to that point.
Oh yeah.
And so it's less. And now I would say with most of the online clients, I'm probably only talking with them when there's big changes in the program. So maybe 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of how I do things.
But so you'll set them up the programs through TrueCoach?
Yeah.
And then just like, okay, here's like your month of workouts or whatever have you. I'm assuming you probably have different tiers of like, oh, do you just want to do 2 times a week or 3 times a week? Does that kind of vary based off of like what the client tells you in the interview?
I've tried to get, yeah, it depends on what they want to do, but for right now, almost all of them are on a 4-day split. Like they're pretty invested, you know.
Dang,
so I think people with injuries, like they tend, I'm like, this is the best bet. This is it. Like, I think if you do this, like get enough rest in between, like we want to be able to work hard, do our lower body day. That's a very similar setup to how Dan Stevenson sets things up in the 4-day split, and definitely a big influence on programming for me.
Yeah.
But if they go to 3 days, like we'll do it. And I did that with Dan as well. And it just looks a little bit different. But
for sure.
Most of them are very motivated to get back, you know, and especially after knee injuries. You're just like, man, just walking and running. Like, you just like, you want to do it. And then once you have it, you appreciate it a lot more. So all of them are on like 4-day splits. If they have questions or if I really want to see something in particular, I write it in there that I want them to videotape. A certain movement, and then we talk about it like through TrueCoach. Like, so when I have time, I'm just like on there, which is really nice as a coach. Like, that I can just go there when I have the time or have extra time. And
it is cool. I have a few clients that do that too, that pay for programming that I'll see like once a week in person, and then they'll do like TrueCoach workouts. But man, having them record their videos or record their workouts rather is huge.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I've talked to a lot of my clients about this. Is like, man, if you can get side angles or of any good angle of a major movement like a squat, bench, or deadlift, like you're going to be much safer. You're going to have a better understanding of like, oh, I see in the video where my posture, my position broke down. Let me see if I can be aware of that next time I'm doing that workout or that exercise. And that's why I also think it's cool that you're doing these more elaborate processes of bringing someone on as a client, of like, you're not necessarily doing an interview, but it is kind of like a motivational interview of like, okay, like what's your motivation level at? Like, why did you seek me out? Why are you seeking out training in general? And it's not to interrogate the person, obviously, but it's like, it's to see like how committed they are.
For sure.
I mean, I talk about this in my first episode of the podcast with programming is like, are you just going to spend $20, $25 on this booty building program from this Instagram model that you're influenced by? And then not see very good results because you have no one to keep you accountable. It's a very cookie cutter workout or program, and you're not going to see the results for maybe that you're looking for. Whereas if you're willing to spend a little bit extra money or even just do some research of like looking around, like looking up websites, going on Facebook, going on social media. It's so easy to find programs that are good but also bad, right? So that can be a double-edged sword, or a, something that can be good or bad with...
Thank you. All right, I think that's good.
Now we're good. But it can be good or bad, right? That if you're doing little research, you're going to get little results, right? Or if you're doing more research and you're asking more questions, hey, why are you charging this much? Or like, what are your credibility? Whatever it is, right? I mean, the consumer, that's where you can go and be like, okay, I want X, Y, and Z out of my program. I want the person that's doing the program to have this kind of experience, whatever have you. And then you can seek that out, because for coaches like us that have Instagram profiles like Dan and Tasha, it's like we put on our bio, this is what I'm proficient in, and this is the kind of stuff that I like to teach and coach. And if that's something that you're interested in, shoot me a message or look at my videos, check out my content, and then make that decision of like, okay, I think this person knows what they're doing. I want to reach out to them. Because that's, to me, that's how I've been approaching more social media now, rather than just like soothing my ego, right? Is like, I want to put on there like what I'm doing with my programming. I want to put on there what I'm taking my clients through personally, so that way other people that are viewing my profile can see like, oh, this guy's like, actually he walks the walk, right? And I think as the fitness industry continues to go into the online world, that's what we're going to have to be able to exemplify the most, is like having the testimonials, having a good, a well-structured website. And I think you've been pushing these buttons well and often.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about anybody else. Maybe this is just me being weird again, but like, I always look at reviews of stuff.
Dude, for sure.
Like, I'm looking to buy a car and I'm like going through all the reviews. Like, even if it has like high ratings, I'm like, okay, but what's wrong? Like, what could go wrong? And what are people saying about having this car? And that's why I bought the car I have. And that's why I bought the online training thing that I did for the coaching and learning how to build that online presence. There's a lot of people having success doing it. I'm like, what are they doing? How are they getting success? Like, why can't I do it?
Yeah, totally.
And I've been trying to do that more with clients, with the relationship of like celebrating them when they are hitting these milestones, and then sharing that with the community of people that I've built up, and be like, this can be, you can have this. Like, it's not like pain isn't always going to be like,
it's not like a prerequisite to getting older.
Yeah. And like, you can, you're so much more resilient than you think. Like, you can do stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And especially once you get older, the pain's not a prerequisite to being old. And I think I have a handful of clients that are in their 50s and late 40s that are like, oh, you know, like my back just hurts and it's just part of getting old. Like, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah, I'm like, no. Pain, I mean, is, I kind of understand.
It's not normal. It's like, I can see why you probably feel like pain.
Yeah.
And it's not because of your age. It's not your biological age. It's the lifestyle, right? And
absolutely.
I mean, there's so many people on, especially online, that you see these like 70-year-olds deadlifting 400, 500 pounds or squatting 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And those videos go viral because people are like, this person's an anomaly. And it's like, no, they were just doing the right thing for so many years in a row that, again, their body is resilient. It rewards you with being able to do the things that you love to do for longer.
Yeah.
And that's what goes back to like restoring your knee pain or restoring like knee surgeries, is like you said, people are so adamant about getting back to it. It's like, if you have that desire to get back to, oh, when I was in high school, I was benching this much weight. It's like, okay, cool. Do you want to get back to that? Or are you just trying to flex like your old strength at me? Because I personally, I don't really care if you're not very close to benching that same weight. It doesn't affect me how much you did in high school, because that's not you now. And what I'm coaching is you right now.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we can have you as healthy as you want to be and as healthy as you desire to be. If you don't desire to be very healthy, that's all right.
That's fine. No,
I want to work at your pace, right?
I'm cool with whatever you want to do. It's like, I'm it's your life. You do what you got to do. I mean, whatever, you know. But it's really fun to get people really strong and in a good way, and they like have better posture, and they see that, and they feel that, and they just keep getting stronger. And like, it's so rewarding when somebody, I just had somebody sign up again. I've been organizing as like 3 months at a time for the online stuff, and they want to sign up for another 3 months. And that's like,
dude,
that is amazing to me.
Huge.
Like, that feels so good. Like, cause they had amazing results, and that was all online. Like, it was cool to know that I could do it there too. And it's a little different than like in person, but it's possible. And like,
oh yeah,
I mean, I've dealt with some really challenging knee stuff with some people online, and they did great. Like, I was working with one lady, and I told her from the beginning, I was like, I actually don't know if I can help you, because she had some things. She'd gone to like multiple doctors, therapists, and nobody really knew. Like, she had knee surgery. She was like college level soccer player, like should have had just a routine recovery. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, she couldn't take the medications, and she was allergic, and like she had a bunch of pain, and like one thing after another, like she ended up like a year later still having a lot of atrophy, limited range of motion, Baker cyst, like just super frustrated, right? And I was like, well, I don't know. I don't necessarily know. I told her from the beginning, I don't know, but I want a shot, because it's like, I want a shot to work with you, and I think there's some things that I could help you with.
Yeah.
And we worked together for 3 months. By the end, she was able to do split squats and like basic strength training activity without pain, and that was like a huge win. And I was like, wow,
that's incredible.
It's pretty, like, we're more resilient than we think, you know. Like, she's gonna have a long process no matter what. Like, she just, it was a unfortunate series of events after her surgery, but just being consistent and still working. And there were times where she flared up, like her knee would swell up, and it was just like one rep that went, and it was so hard as a trainer. Like, she's like, everything felt great, there was one rep at the end. I'm like, no, that was the one thing that like flared everything up.
Yeah, because that's the only rep you're gonna think about as a coach.
But she was great. She knew already the mindset of like all these journeys, especially with pain and other recovery things, that it's like not linear. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted her and other people to sign up for like 3 months at a time. It's like, it could be a little bit up and down, but like at the end, we're gonna figure out like consistently how to make progress and move the needle, and for the long term, right? Because all these things are a lifelong journey. You know, just gonna come here for sign up for a month and good to go, see ya. Like, that'd be awesome, but it's not how it works. Like, you're gonna have to continue to put this work in. That's why I love clients who want to learn stuff and ask a lot of questions. It's really fun that they're like gonna implement these things into their life, and
it's the best.
Not just the 2 hours or 3 hours that I get to see them, you know, or less than that if we're online.
Yeah, definitely. And that's, I think that's a good place to end on, is having clients that want to invest just as much as you want to invest. And it's important, to me, man. Like, it's a telltale sign of if they're asking me questions. Hey, I did, like, we did these two movements last week, and I felt really good. Do you remember what those two movements are? Because it's like, to me, that's a huge sign of like, oh, they, like, they're receptive of what we're doing, and they're receptive of what I'm telling them I want them to do. And like, I have one guy in particular, Jim, and he is like this avid tennis player. He like played at UW, he played like nationally, and is in his late 50s now, and is still competing at a master's level.
Wow.
And I see him once a week, and he's been training for 20 plus years. He was a trainer for tennis players in college and stuff, and like, I was his first ever trainer. He's never trained with someone, and he was 56 when he started training with me.
Wow.
And so like, he could tell, it's like he was someone of like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. He's like, I want to come in, I want to bench press, I want to do lat pull downs, I want to do these things, because it was during the shutdown, and he could only come in to see a trainer. And so I did that with him for a few months, and then I like showed him like pull throughs, like like a hip hinge pattern, right? And he's like, wow, this feels good on my glutes. Because like, he was this guy that he didn't believe in training his legs, because he would play tennis 5 to 6 days a week, and his legs were so exhausted, because this guy plays at such an extreme level of tennis that he's like, my legs are just exhausted. They're toast. I don't want to train them. Like, it's just going to hinder my performance. And I was like, okay, that's totally fine. Because again, you don't want to push too far right away.
Yeah.
And so I'll try and make this short, but basically when I was showing him the pull through, he's like, wow, this is great. Like, for my glutes, like, it actually, like, my legs felt better when I was playing tennis. Yeah, dude, it's crazy. It's crazy when you train your legs. And so then like, I showed him like the hex bar of like deadlifts, and he was just like, wow, this is a full body workout. Yeah, dude, it's not just legs.
Yeah.
And so he's like, man, I feel strong. Like, I feel more limber. And he like texted me a few days ago. He's like, man, I don't know what it was. I see him once a week. He's like, I don't know what it was, man. He's like, my tennis game has improved substantially. Like, I feel more confident. I can move more eloquently on the court. Like, my moves are more fluid. I just feel more comfortable. He's like, what have we been doing? He's like, the only thing I've changed in the last 15 years is I see you once a week. And he's like, everything else I do the same. Because literally he told me, he's like, I'll come in, I'll do biceps, I'll do upright rows, and I'll do like shoulder press, and then I'll go play tennis. And the next day he'll do bench press, he'll do curls, he'll do lat pull downs, and he'll go play tennis. So he's been only doing upper body, the same movements. And it's like, dude, if I can show you what rotation looks like.
Oh, yeah.
If I can show
you. Like, you're going to be...
you're going to be light years ahead. And it's cool to see that, like, someone like him that's been doing this for decades and decades. And he comes in and he instills his trust into someone that's half his age.
Yeah.
But I have a degree in this field. It's like I've been studying this for so many years that I can, again, it's like you can see some of the patterns of like, man, if you just change this one thing, you're going to see like a difference. And he's this guy that like, now that I've embedded this trust with him, anything I show him, he's like, man, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it full force. I'm going to follow everything you're asking me to do. So I'll give him like hip mobility drills to do at home. I'll like show him the 90-90 and like all these things of like, man, if you just do these one or two things, it's going to take 5 minutes. Do it every day. And he's a creature of habit. He does it every day. Sure as shit, he feels better.
That's awesome.
Like, dude, there you go, man. Like, it can sometimes be as easy as that. And so that's just what's so gratifying with being a trainer and being a coach is like seeing those small changes that you make that make a monumental difference in someone's life.
And the way they think about things and the habits that they start to build.
Yeah.
Totally life-changing.
And it's the same way with that lady that had the Baker cyst that you had her do a split squat. Like, man, now that she saw that success, what do you think she's going to want to do now? She's going to want to learn more. And she's going to want to tell her friends. And that's when the ripple effect starts to happen and it can be good, beneficial for both of you. You'll get more clients. She'll feel more comfortable and confident in herself.
Yeah.
And you both win.
I mean, she also got her first pull-up ever. I mean,
dude, that's you know? Crazy. Like, that's such a huge land. Or like,
she came in with knee stuff, and we're like, yeah, now you can do pull-ups too. Like,
yeah, that's such a huge milestone for people to hit if they can do a so body cool. weight pull-up.
Yeah, she was cranking out like multiple by the time we finished up that program. Mm-hmm. She's awesome. I still talk to her sometimes because Canada, mm-hmm. COVID stuff. Like, no, you build some really cool relationships. Like, online is a great spot, and I'd encourage people to. Figure out kind of like what you're interested in and see if there are some groups that maybe you're already like engaging in groups on social media and Facebook or whatever, where totally. You're talking to people and like just having like a pretty authentic relationship. And then when you add them as friends and you add them into your community, like, you know, every so often I will promote that I'm taking clients and like showing my testimonials with people and hoping that that's enough for them to be like, okay, well they got results.
Yeah, for sure.
Like if you want to get results, let's do it. And I will continue building that. I'd love to do more. Still have time to do more online stuff, but I mean, I love in person too. Like, it's not that I want to get away from that.
I don't ever want that to go away.
Yeah, never. It's just not 8 hours a day. It's a big toll. Like, I want to get my own training in.
Oh yeah.
You know, it'd be ideal if I could only train a certain amount of hours in person, get my workout, and then be able to go and do other things like online.
Oh yeah.
And still stay in this industry. Hit all my goals personally, financially, spiritually, whatever, you know, like that's what it's all about. So I encourage people to go online and just start getting comfortable making videos where you're talking about what you like and hopefully talking to communities. Always ask questions. Like that's one strategy I didn't share. Like I'll ask questions, see like what kind of who responds, and then I'll like retag those people mm-hmm. and other things that I'm talking about with that specific.
Yeah.
That's a great strategy. I think it's worked out. Pretty good. I've gotten a couple clients from that.
Dude, that's huge, man. Always be a student.
Yeah, and that's just going to keep adapting. I mean, technology's, I don't know, you just got to be in there doing it. That's the thing. That's how you learn. You just got to, like, try it out. I don't know, if it doesn't work, whatever. Just don't be embarrassed. Who cares? People aren't going to remember. They're just going to slide to the next thing. They're just going to, whatever. That was weird. Whatever.
Just do the hip model. I don't know about
that's
that.
That's weird. What's this guy doing?
Why is he like pelvises?
Yeah.
Plug yourself, Josh. Tell everyone like where they can find you online, social media.
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely you could add me on Facebook. I don't know, just Josh Bond, Josh. but probably the easiest place to find me is on Instagram. It's just at Josh L Bond, and I'm always posting workout stuff. And sometimes I'll go through streaks where I'm like posting more about what's going on. Right now I've been so busy in the 6 week course and then like at work and stuff that I haven't been posting as much. But I plan on posting here coming up to promote the next round of the posture reset.
Nice.
And giving more insight into that and hopefully getting some testimonials. I know I've got a few people in there who are cranking away and learning and applying some of this stuff, so hopefully they're getting some cool results when we go to reassess them. So
yeah, dude, right on.
Yeah, I'm excited. So yeah, thanks for having me,
dude. Anytime, man.
You want appreciate me to bring my pelvis model?
Yeah, we'll do a visual one next time. Cool, dude. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.